Welcome to the Tivoli Talk, Energy for Optimization for Data Center Infrastructure Management and Facility Management. All lines will be in a listen-only mode until the question and answer portions throughout the presentation. You may queue up for questions by any time by pressing star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Chris Dittmer. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We're excited to talk about this topic with you. We'll take you through a little bit of what the market looks like in this area, what some of the common things we run into out there when we're working on these topics in client engagements are, and we'll also take you through a quick demonstration and scenario that will walk you through a real-life encounter that someone might have using these kinds of tools and tool sets. My name is Chris Dittmer. I'm the Senior Market Manager for our Green and Energy Efficiency Initiatives within Tivoli Software. And we also have presenting today Ms. Kim Woodbury. So, Kim, would you like to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Kim Woodbury in the Product Management Group for Maximo, and have been working closely with Chris on this Maximo Energy Optimization solution in combination with the Tivoli Monitoring product. So we'll both be taking you through some of these materials. Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Thanks, Kim. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right in with Chart 3. So, you know, what are some of the pressure points we see out there that are leading clients down this path? You know, I think the first one is the one that's probably the most obvious in the sense that, you know, it's cost. It's, you know, that energy and this cost associated with the environment have gone from something that most companies, you know, obviously there are some energy-intensive industries that have paid a lot of attention to this for a long time, steel production or aluminum production, those sorts of things that are just very energy-intensive. But for your typical business that's not in one of those very, very energy-intensive industries, it was something that they just wrote off, you know, or they just said, oh, it's a cost of doing business. We can't really change it. You know, it's not worth putting enough time into to try to manage it better. It's pretty cheap and seems like it's plenty of availability as well. So, you know, not that much attention was paid to it. And now, you know, we're starting to see the costs go up, both from a direct, you know, just a cost of a kilowatt hour of energy. Doesn't look like it's going to stay flat or grow, you know, at a rate that's very manageable. And you also have availability issues in some cases. So you see things like, you know, the power company saying, well, we really can't provide you any more power in this location. So you start looking at capital costs of building somewhere else or bringing in a second branch of a utility line and those sorts of things. And anytime the clients, you know, have those kinds of issues top of mind, you know, the kinds of solutions that we'll talk about today certainly come into play. The second area is laws, regulations, and standards, which really, you know, end up driving some of the cost or the perceived costs in the minds of clients as well, because, you know, you start having to pay for your carbon emissions, for example, and all of a sudden that's a real cost. And right now, I think what we see is you know, people are starting to think about that even in countries where there's no formal legislation yet. They're starting to think we better get our hands around this because, you know, at some point it is likely to become real in some form or fashion. And the third one is stakeholder expectations. So there are cases where we've worked with clients who have just, you know, had from the very top levels of their organization edicts put down that's, you know, we're going to achieve, and you see them all the time, we're going to achieve 50% carbon reduction, you know, over the next 12 years, or we're going to remain flat on our carbon consumption or energy usage, you know, from now until 2017 or whatever the case may be. So those kinds of things are all really driving, you know, interest and driving folks to look for solutions in this space. If you want to flip ahead with me to Chart 5, you know, there are a number of challenges in getting there, and there's a reason why, you know, managing this isn't something that everyone's doing well at this point. So you start to look at things like, you know, a typical sustainability manager that's trying, for example, to get a handle on the carbon being used in their organization or the energy consumption and where it's being used and that sort of thing, has to pull together. One told me, in fact, they had to pull together 20 different sources of information across the enterprise to get you know, even a cursory estimation of some of these environmental and energy factors. So there's lots of data out there, spreadsheets and utility companies providing some information and you know, different pieces of equipment providing information, but it's hard to pull that into one place, and it's hard to integrate it really with the way the business works. Even if you can pull all those spreadsheets together, how do you use it to drive any action to actually improve anything? I think, you know, I'll just call out a couple of these challenges. I think another one, this whole disconnect between facilities and IT, you know, since we're going to be talking about data centers today in some detail, you know, there's in most organizations still a pretty large wall between these two organizations. You know, one is maintaining the air conditioning unit and sending someone out with a hard hat to fix it, and the other is applying, you know, patches to software code and trying to maintain things from that point of view. So oftentimes these worlds are very different, and they use different sets of tools, have different language, you know, et cetera. But in reality, to solve these kinds of problems, they have to work together. And we see that as a challenge in many cases as well. A third one I'll mention here is this notion of accountability, right? So oftentimes the department or team or unit that's being billed for energy is not the same one that's benefiting from its consumption. And so what it ends up driving is kind of that situation I started with, which is, you know, no one's really paying attention to driving this because there's little accountability associated with it. So if the cost goes up, it's someone else's problem. And I think that's another challenge that really holds people back from moving forward with these kinds of things. And it also gets to the who's going to pay for it. You know, if I'm not really responsible for paying for energy, then I'm not going to go fund a project that, you know, that goes out and helps save the organization energy, even if it's a good thing to do. And even if I think I could save 30% of energy, it's hard to get that funding, you know, in that kind of situation. So those are a few of the challenges. Let's look at chart six, and then I'll pause to see if there are any questions queued up here early on. With chart six, we're really talking about the kinds of questions that we're helping clients understand. So if you look at this whole topic of green service management, it's been called many things. I mean, here we're basically saying it's IBM service management with a green lens, and trying to answer these kinds of questions that I mentioned really in the challenges phase. How much energy am I using? How much could I save? You know, those are pretty basic questions that aren't clear, you know, to most organizations today. Certainly when you get to things like which services are costing me the most in energy consumption, you know, that's not clear. And that makes it hard to know if you're being profitable, right? If you have a very energy-intensive process, you know, maybe you're not charging enough for it if you're not accounting for those things. From an asset efficiency point of view, you know, if I had to decide tomorrow, you know, how to spend $1 million in capital to replace my most inefficient assets and improve my energy situation, would I know how to do that? Am I tracking the information to know that, you know, this particular piece of equipment, while fully functional, is a major energy hog, right? And those sorts of things from an asset point of view. Or from the other side of that, do I know what my most efficient assets are so that I'm sending, you know, workload to those and turning off the ones that are less efficient? So all those from an asset point of view come into play. The other part of the asset coin is am I maintaining what I have for energy efficiency? So we all know with our own cars, for example, that if you know, keep the tires inflated and keep the spark plugs changed, et cetera, you can get better fuel economy, right? But are we doing that for all the assets in our enterprise? You know, oftentimes the answer to that is no, we don't do anything until it breaks. So, you know, all these kinds of questions really come into play. And with that, I just wanted to pause and see if there are any questions queued up.
At this time, I show no questions, but again, you may queue up any time to ask a question by pressing *1. And please just unmute your phone and record your name when prompted.
Thank you. So Kim, on to chart 7.
Sure. So we also wanted to take a look at some of these same challenges that we're seeing from the facilities perspective. A lot of them overlap with what Chris described in understanding your asset. efficiency and maintenance schedule to help achieve some of those goals. So as we look at some of the environmental trends, we see this, of course, being increasingly focused on the facilities side, from the health, safety and health regulations, the additional reporting requirements that our customers are being faced with from a regulatory perspective. The security and safety within the organizations to the critical assets as well as to some of the IT infrastructure networks and so forth, and those safety requirements that they're being faced with. Also from the customers, from the end customer's perspective here, that the services that are being delivered are more optimized and being able to meet those agreements and have your customer satisfaction levels up. And we mentioned here as well that intersection between IT and operations and how we can help manage that and bring those organizations together to face all of these same challenges more cooperatively. And overall sort of a green consciousness that's being pervasive as we see across various industries. So coupled with that, we also have a number of technology trends that are complementing that environmental view as well. A lot more embedded computing, so the intelligence that's being added to various machines, appliances, devices, all the sensors and information from those meters that we can collect and gather that information to help us with decision making. Lots more wireless communication, so we see it being easier for us to collect that kind of information because of the infrastructure. RFID tags, GPS for various assets and tracking of people and supply chain activities. So all of those things are becoming more and more prevalent across various industries. And again, mentioning just sort of the increased network technologies that can support all of these activities and sensors, the wireless networks becoming more cost-effective to actually support that for a mobile platform, and more workforces are being enabled with those mobile technologies. So we're trying to look at all of these trends that are happening across IT and facilities and trying to address them with the solutions that we're talking about today in a single cohesive way. So Chris, you want to take us through the different domains there?
Sure.
On slide 9?
Thanks. Yep, thanks Kim. On chart 9, just a quick statement on kind of the scope. When we talk about these problems overall, we're really looking at them, you know, from a number of different domains, and these domains, you know, we have organizational boundaries here sometimes and other boundaries, but at the same time, you know, when you know, organizations look at this, they rarely look at it and say, well, I want to optimize energy for this one particular piece of the organization. They realize that it's a system and they need to optimize the entire thing. And so the domains that we talk about here are information technology, so server, storage, network devices, those sorts of things are fairly obvious, PCs and those sorts of things as well. Then from a data center infrastructure perspective, so these are all the pieces of equipment and assets that look an awful lot like any other facility's asset, but you almost always exclusively find them in data center spaces, so they're kind of specialized in terms of what they do for, you know, battery backup and air conditioning and in-row cooling and power distribution, and all of those things are relatively unique there. And then when you look at the building infrastructure, there are things that you see in almost every building, so all of them have HVAC systems and lighting systems and the like. And then when you go beyond that, and you're kind of outside of the realm of buildings and what sits inside of them, you're in the space of assets that are deployed out in the field. So that could be everything from cell tower sites for a communications company to, you know, a fleet or you know, refrigeration units or something that are just deployed out there in the field serving the needs of various business processes. So when we talk about this, you know, we're really talking about solutions that bring all this together. Again, I think today we'll put a lot of focus around the information technology, the data center infrastructure, and the building to talk about how those, you know, typically play out in a data center environment. Just kind of wanted to give a little picture of the scope. And then if we flip ahead to chart 11, you know, part of the reason that we scoped it this way is that we think the process looks an awful, you know, awful lot alike, regardless of the type of asset that you're looking at. So you can see those domains again here, but we're talking about a process that says, you know, whatever the domain you're in, the process looks the same. You've got to discover those assets. You've got to know where they are. You know, you've got to know how much energy they're consuming, and you want to be able to manage that. You know, so I want to be able to turn the dials and actually change something. So I want to, you know, raise the temperature set point of an air conditioning unit, or I want to turn a server off because we're not using it anymore. We don't use it at night, those sorts of things. Then we move on to the optimize phase where you say, well, you know, these systems interact and we want some of these things to happen without manual intervention. We want that server to turn off when we see that, you know, the workload has shifted to another site or has gone away, et cetera. We want that temperature set point to be optimized as well, for just as one example. And then from a reporting point of view, you know, we know that at the end of the day we need to be able to report all this information up through the organization, possibly even to government entities or carbon trading or you know, to an environmental report that many companies put out at this point. So all of that reporting comes in at the end of the day. And then we're listing a few initiatives here that are relatively easy starting points for this. So the ones that we're calling out here are measuring and benchmarking energy and thermal performance, and that's one that we'll take you into a little bit of detail in today. But there are also things like implementing an executive energy dashboard, you know, that just gives a high-level view of how much energy is being consumed and where, and that sort of thing. It puts it in a dashboard format. The others really get more into, you know, the moving beyond measurement and viewing and that sort of thing into taking action and modifying the infrastructure. And we'll touch a little bit on that today as well to give you a flavor for that. So that's chart 11. I want to take you through chart 12 just to show you some of the products that will be in play for the little demonstration we're going to do today and that are typically part of the architecture for something like this measure and benchmark energy and thermal performance. So what you see along the bottom are, again, those domains that we keep going back to. Regardless of the domain, you know, it's flowing into the Tivoli Monitoring for Energy Management tool. And then, you know, with that tool, you get some reporting and some of the control and power management capabilities and energy view. So you can see, you know, I can drill into a given, you know, air conditioning unit, UPS unit, whatever the case may be, and see metrics that are, you know, specific to that device. So if I drill into a UPS system, I might see how much battery life it has left, how much current is going through it, what the temperature of the batteries are, that sort of thing. If I drilled into a server, I would see, you know, how much power it's consuming at its peak and its minimum and you know, what the temperature that the chip is experiencing is and what temperature is coming out of the back of the unit. Those sorts of things are all the kinds of metrics that you use there. And I think that Tivoli Monitoring tool, something that thousands of clients use already, you know, prior to our introduction of this, to manage all kinds of other metrics, and just a natural choice here. The other pieces that you see are the Tivoli Business Service Manager, which is where we really build up our role-based energy dashboards. And then the other piece is the Maximo for Energy Optimization, which we'll show you a lot of today. And that's really where we're tying this energy metrics and energy management into asset management and doing some innovative things with it from a visualization point of view. So again, I want to stop and see if there are any questions queued up.
At this time, I show no questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. So move ahead here. Just before we jump into the demo scenario, I wanted to show a little bit more about the products themselves, so this Maximo Asset Management for Energy Optimization on chart 13. There's a couple of major highlights for it. The one you see at the top is really around optimizing the energy efficiency of data center assets. So here you can see in the screenshot, a picture's worth a thousand words, what you're seeing is a layout of a data center, and you're seeing thermal metrics in this case superimposed on top of this graphical layout. So if you are able to see it, and if not, we'll zoom in later where you can see things like racks and you know, different devices and assets represented on this map, and you can see the temperature overflowing, you know, overlaid on top of those. So you can see, you know, where there's a hot spot or a cold spot, where you're, you know, either running a risk of availability issue because it's too hot, or wasting energy because you're just overcooling everything. And so we'll talk about that in some detail. The other piece is tying energy data to what we do in traditional asset management. So you think about traditional asset management processes like condition monitoring, right, where you're looking at an asset over time to see if its operational performance has changed in a way that might indicate that something's wrong with it or it needs maintenance or needs to be replaced or needs to be repaired, et cetera. You know, we can do that same thing with energy. So if you're watching something and all of a sudden, you know, it's been consistently using X amount of energy and now it's slowly drifting to use X plus 10%, you know, we need to look at that and see if that's because of, you know, changes in demand or if that's something, you know, with the unit itself. Maybe the fan filter was installed backwards and all of a sudden it lost 10% efficiency, those sorts of things. And then you're just your general ability to open service requests and really manage all these assets as we tie them into energy is very important. And then on chart 14, I wanted to talk just a little bit more about the Tivoli monitoring for energy management product. I think this one is really where, you know, just getting that baseline data collection, pulling from all the different sources, whether they be, you know, directly from assets themselves or other building management systems that are in place already in the environment. But really this is the place where, you know, at least from a data point of view, it's all coming together. And again, you can see how, you know, with this tool you can start to do all kinds of interesting correlations. So you've got data coming in on energy for all these devices, but you also could have energy or information coming in on application performance and database performance and transaction throughput. So you can start to draw some interesting conclusions when you look at something like transaction throughput versus energy consumption. You know, if it doesn't go down when you have low transaction volume, then there's probably an opportunity to save energy, right? If my transactions go up and down but my energy stays flat, you know, that tells me something right there. So a lot of really straightforward things you can do, even things like what are my top 10 energy consumers and that sort of thing can be very illuminating in a tool like this. So that just gives you a little bit more detail on a couple of the key products that sit at the center of this. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Kim again to walk us through this demonstration scenario on chart 15.
Thanks, Chris. So we're just going to lay out what we're going to walk through. We don't have a WebEx for this session today, so we're going to take you through the demonstration with some screenshots. We can always, if anyone wants to see something further, there's other recordings that have live demos and environments that we can get you in touch with. But so for this scenario, we're going to start out by looking at a KPI on the Start Center of Maximo, which is going to alert us to an asset that has reached some condition outside of what's determined as normal, either by the vendor specifications or conditions that we've put around that asset. So once we get that indication, we can go into the asset details and go into the floor plan and determine where that is within the data center in this case. So just understanding its physical location can help with directing someone to the right place for starters, but also understand its proximity to other assets. So if it's something that's running hot or an air conditioning unit is not performing, who else is going to be affected? Understanding, you know, SLAs and what's being delivered on other machines in that proximity to help determine priority. We can also get a little bit more detail on the asset itself. So recent maintenance history, its performance history, specification data or nameplate data that can help diagnose the situation. Has someone been out there recently? When was the last time that we changed the fan or performed any kind of maintenance on this asset? And that might help lead us to a problem diagnosis. In this case, we're going to see that there was a recent work order performed, and we're going to follow up on that to ensure that it was properly executed. And once that follow-up work is completed, we can see that the temperature will go back to a normal state. So let's go on to the first slide of the demo, which is slide 16. Sorry, it's covered up a little bit here on the bottom. So this is the Start Center of Maximo. I can see that I've got two data centers that I'm responsible for. In the upper left corner, I've got two tabs, so with different sets of data. And all of the things you would typically see on a Start Center. So there's all of the applications that I frequently use, favorite apps, some quick insert choices, if there's any workflow assignments that have been delegated to me. And on the right, we're looking at a couple of KPIs and result sets that we've built for the assets that are a part of this data center we're looking at. So we can look at air conditioning units that are running hot. We've got open service requests for servers. And running down further, I don't know if we can see it here, there's also one for things that are running cold. So that's just as important when we talk about energy efficiency as something that's running hot. To overcool that area is also, you know, inefficient in from a cost perspective. So there is one asset in the top result set here. This air conditioning unit that's running hot is outside of the normal range. And if we move on to the next slide, would be if you clicked right on that asset number, it would drill you right into the asset details. And we would go to the data center tab, which is a new one here within the asset application for the energy optimization product. That shows me the floor plan and highlights, as we've circled in red, where that asset is located. We can see that this is a server rack, so moving on to the next slide, which highlights, which is the air conditioning unit, I'm sorry. So you can see in the bottom where it says ACU, and there's a list of all the air conditioning units in that data center, in this data set. But we can also click on some of the nearby assets. So moving on to the next slide, there is a rack nearby. And I can also drill further into those details. You can see there's a choice here to the middle to retrieve the asset for the selected location. If we go on to the next slide, if I were to select that option and click Go, I can now see all of the assets that reside in that rack. So now we're talking about understanding the environment that's in the same proximity as that air conditioning unit. So who's being affected, and what are the temperatures of those assets? So I've got a history here, the ambient and exhaust temperature for each of these servers that are in that rack. There's also a go-to here if I wanted to drill into additional information, go to that asset record and drill into that further. So if we go back out to the floor plan now on the next slide, we can see we've turned on a different view layer here for heat. Up in the top now we have that heat checked off. And can see where that is. It appears hot in the area of that air conditioning unit. Some additional options when looking at that information. So on to the next slide, there's a various heights that I can look at. So if the sensors, depending on, you know, the sensor placement within the room, it might be interesting to know, is it hotter, you know, at the ceiling or at the floor, and I can change the various heights to see that represented. There's also some other features there. There's zooming. You can zoom in or zoom out. As you can see, we've zoomed into the corner of this floor plan in this view. Some other typical navigation features like that. On to 22, there's also direct access from the map to get in to see the meter reading history for this asset. So not only the last reading like we saw for all of the servers in the rack, but for this individual asset, I want to see the meter reading, the complete history. So is this anomaly? Has this been trending up over time? And can help determine when the problem maybe was initiated. You can also drill into some additional asset details. So moving on to the next slide, we look at the asset record. Of course, there's valuable information here about the warranty expiration date, who the vendor is, when it was installed. There might be some attached documents here with manuals or instructions for repair, spare parts lists. So all the additional maintenance history that can help me drill in and hope to alleviate this issue. On the next slide, we show the spare parts list. So this is important in understanding if I need to go out and make a repair, I can bring the correct materials with me so I don't spend a lot of time going back and forth to a storeroom, for example. We also show the full maintenance history. And so this is where we're seeing that there was a number, you know, we've been doing our inspections on a regular basis, monthly, we did the semi-annual, but we've got this coolant leak that seems to be a bit of a recurring problem. And so it's happened a couple of times, over that history, and that might be something that we want to look into further. Either we need to replace the part, or maybe based on the purchase date and if the warranty is expired, we may want to think about replacing this asset. So in this case, we're gonna create a new work order to follow up on the leaking problems, and we can assign that out to the correct craft that can go and try to address that problem. So that kind of takes us through, you know, once that work order is alleviated, we hope to resolve the temperature issues and be able to quickly respond to that energy data. So this demonstration took us through, you know, the air conditioning unit for the data center, and the initial release is very data center focused, as this is one of the areas where we can see a real improvement, the cost reduction by implementing a solution like this. But it's not to say that the facility side of the business can't benefit from this as well. So as we go through releases, and I think Chris will talk a little bit about direction, but just being able to capture these metrics and capture that meter history against the assets in Maximo, excuse me, whether I am looking at it visually for temperature, temperature isn't the only metric that we collect. It happens to be the only one that we visually lay on the floor plan today, but we also can capture other meters, energy consumption, humidity, anything else that those sensors can provide, and tie those to condition monitoring activities, escalations, build some workflows, some business rules around how we can handle those and have visibility into that data to also alleviate some of those problems and proactively respond to those issues based on that information. So I just wanted to highlight that. I think I can hand it back to you, Chris, for 27 and take us through the entire scope of the solution.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Kim. And I think the example that we laid out of the demonstration is an interesting one. And I think, you know, you see things all the time that are, at least, you know, I do in going around and talking to folks about this. You see things all the time where, you know, people just ignore the fact that cooling leak might have had this downstream impact on the entire data center. It might have made everything else work harder and be really energy efficient or energy inefficient to let those things fester. I've seen things as simple as a floor tile, you know, the way that a lot of data centers are cooled is you know, where by placing perforated floor tiles where they want the cooling to be applied and not, you know, having solid ones where they don't want the cooling to be applied. You know, I've seen things like, you know, the pressurized floor tile placement being suboptimized, you know, and that would have shown up immediately on a heat map where you saw, gosh, part of the room's really, really cold and part's really, really warm. And simply going and using those suction cups to grab up a floor tile and move it could have saved, you know, quite a lot of energy, but people just don't have the visibility in many cases to do those sorts of things. So, you know, getting that service request in to get that floor tile moved even can be a big deal. So,
I guess the other one I would point out is, as you're saying that, you know, we talk here about a situation that we're trying to react to, a problem that's being highlighted. You know, another use for the tool is when you're trying to do planning. I've got some new assets, some new servers that are being requested that need to be installed, and to help me with the decision of where can I put those in the room where I'm not already running a little bit warm. You know, where can I put it where I'm not going to make these air conditioners work harder? Where can I put it where it's most energy efficient? So those scenarios can also be supported with this kind of tool.
Right, or even, you know, where can you put it where the rack is not going to automatically be out of power as soon as you put it in, you know, those,
exactly.
Those sorts of things as well. So wanted to back to chart 27. You know, what we have really looked at here is this whole central area of measuring and benchmarking performance. And at this point, you know, I might be asking how does some of this data even flow in the first place? And the answer to that question is along the bottom of the chart. You know, depending on the domain, we have different partners. We've developed quite a large partner ecosystem here. IBM's reached out to all these companies, and we have formal partnerships in place to address this problem. And you know, essentially, then it may you walk into a given client environment, and they may have a certain vendor for building management, another one for infrastructure, another one, you know, for different pieces and parts. And so, what we've done is endeavor to reach out to the major players in their various domains and work together to solve these problems, realizing that, you know, if we just took, for example, IBM hardware only, we'd be solving a portion of the problem. As I said early on, we're really looking to optimize the entire system here, not just one piece or one domain in the system. And you know, that being said, if, you know, there are also ways, custom agent building technologies essentially that allow you to go out and if you've got some humidifier from you know, an obscure manufacturer that has 1% market share but works really well and you want to pull that information in, you can certainly do that as well. But your bases are covered in many cases already right here. The other piece I wanted to talk about on this chart is if you want to go beyond this measuring and benchmarking performance and some of the you know, infrastructure optimization type things that we just detailed in our scenario around planning or responding to events and that sort of thing from your basic facilities management pieces. You've got the other pieces that kind of go around the horn here, from everything from on your lower left, detailed financial accounting for energy. That says, you know, I want to cost out all this energy consumption to the groups or the business services that are driving it. You know, that's an easy place to go from here in terms of, you know, moving on to next steps. Just some of the other ones, you know, integrating the IT and facilities event streams is one that I've seen, you know, be of large value. You know, you oftentimes have one group of people in the organization watching IT type events and another group watching facilities type events, and consolidating those and saying, let's watch them all come in and let's even do some smart correlation. You know, so maybe this IT server failing is not because of bad code, or you know, this IT service failing is not because of bad code or, you know, a bad network connection that IT typically would have caught, but it's because the power ran out and the branch circuit tripped that was supplying the power for that. You know, now we can start to correlate some of those events. So there's value in just consolidating the event stream, but there's also value in, you know, being more intelligent about how we respond to some of these things. You know, just the simple act of identifying underutilized assets. If I, you know, go out there and see that I have some assets that are running at 2% utilization, you know, that's another one where, you know, I can go and attack those, come back and see how that affects. If I get rid of those, maybe I virtualize some servers or shut down an air conditioner unit or something like that, I can quickly come back and say, how did that affect the situation with respect to heat in my data center, for example? If I shut those servers down that were underutilized anyway, maybe I solved my hotspot that way, or maybe shutting that air conditioner down, you know, made things slightly warmer in that area, so I can evaluate whether that was okay to do or not. So you get an idea, really. I mean, each one of these could be another Tivoli talk in and of itself, perhaps, to really dive into everything you could do to tie some of these worlds together. But I think that at least gives you a flavor for how you can start to take this and see how it goes from being an energy management type tool to really a integration into service management and the way we do business. So on chart 28, a couple of directions, just sort of a where we go from here. Kind of statement. You know, I think what we see is the continued convergence of this energy management across the domains. I mean, we're starting to see more instrumentation, more insight, more open standards that allow this information to flow you know, between the different types and to be optimized across domains rather than just within domains. I think the second point here around intelligent solutions that dynamically respond, again, I mean, across domains is what where I think it gets really interesting. You know, when something happens in one of those domains, how do the other ones respond, right? And then that third one, you know, increasing the data availability. So, you know, the larger percentage of the infrastructure in the organization that we have data on, you know, the more complete our dashboards are and the more complete, you know, the optimization can be, the more all-encompassing, I suppose, that it can be. So that those are some of the areas where we're putting some particular focus going forward as well. I want to share with you one more chart on chart 30 and then open it up to questions again. So this one's just laying out a few of the real experiences with energy management that we've had. You know, in Star Technology is a firm in the UK, an internet services company. You know, they were able to integrate some of these solutions and build solutions that allow them to what they were excited about was measuring both their IT and non-IT devices and putting that in the same infrastructure. So earlier I talked about things like, you know, they were already, for example, monitoring transactions and IT type metrics like that, and they wanted to be able to put energy and non-IT metrics right there with it and have done some interesting things there. You know, another one that anybody could easily go and take a walk through would be the one at the bottom, the Austin Data Center. Scott Winters is the distinguished engineer there, so it's an IBM data center, but what they've done is impressive from an energy consumption, energy efficiency point of view, and they've implemented the tools that we've talked about today as well. In fact, you know, many sites across IBM have. That's just one that's good in the sense that it's set up for demonstrations and for anyone to walk through and see these things and touch and feel them and see, you know, they can show you how when a UPS unit goes down, you know, how the system responds and actually walk through some of what Kim showed you, you know, in more of a live setting. So that's a good one to be aware of as well. And with that, I'd like to open it up to any final questions.
At this time, there are no questions, but once again, if you'd like to ask a question, it's star one.
So I think maybe it would be worth just, you know, while we wait to see if any questions come through, so just, I guess, some of the facts, I suppose. So the Maximo for Energy Optimization product was available last August. It is a standalone product. It doesn't require the Maximo Enterprise Edition as a base. It's not an add-on or an industry solution. It does require ITM for energy management to support some of the data collection from the metrics. I don't know, Chris, if we think of any. I'm trying to think of the common questions that we get generally.
No, that was a good one. That was a good one. I tried to address some of the common ones along the way about how the data comes in and that sort of thing as well. So
yeah, the different partners we work with. So there is going to be a interim release that's coming out this spring that's going to have some additional capabilities, and we're working towards a 7.1.1 release for next August, again, with some enhanced capabilities around metrics and supporting additional devices, as well as some additional visualization capabilities that will support humidity and power, as well as temperature. So those are also, you know, in line with some of the directions and what you can look for in the upcoming months.
I show no questions at this time.
Okay, well, we thank everybody for their time, and this will be recorded. And if you have any questions that you haven't brought forward in the session, feel free to reach out to Chris or myself, and we'll try to answer them for you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks.